Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, folks. Here we are on Democratic Perspective one more time. We have a great show this morning. We have silent Gary LeMasters here, and in keeping with...
And not so silent,
not
Gary.
Not so silent lately.
And your host is Mike Cosentino.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mike Cosentino here. And Steve is still frolicking in New York, and we're going to... We'll find out what he did when he comes back, but of course, like everybody else, we can catch up with it on Facebook if we're actually that interested, which we are not. So, but today we have Tom Chabon and Bill Mundell. We have candidates for the Arizona Corporation Commission here in the office. As we talked about in earlier shows on Democratic Perspective, we're going to have a lot of candidates on. It's 2016. It's candidate season. But Tom and Bill, running for the Corporation Commission. This is a statewide office. This is actually, in the words of Joe Biden. No, I'm not going to say that. You knew what I mean. This is a BFD. The Corporation Commission in Arizona. You guys, you just gave a speech. A presentation, I guess, would be better, at Democrats of the Red Rocks at the old Sedona Bar and Grill this morning, and then we snagged you over here for this interview. But you called it a fourth. So we want to talk about the commission a little bit first, and then you guys are going to tell us about you and a fourth branch.
We'll get to
this
that.
This is Tom Chabon. That's his voice.
This is Tom Chabon. So we'll get to that, but let's just put it out there, right?
Let's put it out there.
Well, Bill and I are running against Arizona Public Service.
Bingo.
All right?
Yes, sir.
We're running against Arizona Public Service because, quite frankly, Arizona Public Service has purchased the Arizona Corporation Commission hook, line, and sinker.
Lots.
They own them.
Yeah.
So there's no sense in identifying candidates that we're running against because Arizona Public Service has put the commissioners in place. They own them.
Right.
And we're fighting for the customers of APS against what the commission is doing to their bills.
And this is fairness. We're talking about running against a corporation, by the way. You know, and that's a bold statement. You know, we're talking about, a democratic process, candidates running against a corporation, but that's the way it is because of the money system.
Let's make sure people understand what the Arizona Corporation Commission is and what it does. In short,
well, first we want to say hello to Bill Mundell. Go ahead, Bill. Say something so they can recognize
you. This is Bill Mundell. Thank you for having me here today, and I'll briefly talk about what the commission does so your listeners will know. If you buy electricity, use natural gas to cook or heat with, drink water or shower with water, cross a railroad crossing, buy stocks or bonds, buy gasoline at a gas station. The Corporation Commission doesn't set the price, but it makes sure the pipes that go to the gas stations are safe, or start a business, a corporation, or LLC. The Corporation Commission, a decision by the Corporation Commission has impacted your lives.
Well, and that's where my statement came from. It's one of those, not a lot of states have this.
Well, in most states, they're called the Public Utilities Commission,
right,
or the Public Service Commission for your listeners. At statehood, it was called the Railroad Commission because the framers of the Constitution were concerned about monopolies, the railroad and Standard Oil. So we've kind of come full circle now, concerned about corporations and as Tom mentioned, APS and the dark money they spent to get these current commissioners elected, between $3 and $8 million.
Yeah.
So in essence, what you're saying is that APS spent a lot of money to elect commissioners that are going to regulate themselves.
To reinvent the wheel a little bit, and this is again Tom Chabon, that we have to remember that APS is a government-created monopoly. And many people need to look at their bill when they see their bill and look at it as if it's taxes. They're paying taxes. And what a good commission does is oversee that government-created monopoly to make sure it's not wasting money, not paying excessive salaries, or if it is, that the ratepayers, the people who are paying their bill, isn't paying for it. And unfortunately, what we have with the existing commission is an unwillingness to ask tough questions of the utilities, to dive down and get real answers, and in fact, to obstruct one commissioner from getting the answers to those questions. So that's why we say, you know, we're running against APS.
Let's talk about, go ahead, Bill, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, we said earlier that APS spent between $3 and $8 million in dark money to get two of the commissioners elected in the last election, 2014. The reason we say $3 to $8 million is because it's dark money as a result of the Citizens United case. They don't have to disclose it. And so Tom and I are running as clean election candidates. We need to get $2,105 contributions. And it's very ironic that a person that wants to give us $5 has to fill out this three-part form.
That is ironic.
That we have to file with the Secretary of State's office. And APS,
name, address.
Rank and serial number, whole nine yards. And APS
can get
spend
millions.
$8 million, $3 million, and doesn't have to disclose any of it. So Tom and I are running against what we call the cycle of corruption. What happens is APS takes a portion of the bill that customers pay. They then funnel it to shell corporations, many of them with P.O. boxes and not even an address. They then hire political consultants who then run the commercials and the TV commercials and the radio commercials against the candidates they either are supporting or oppose. Those candidates then get on the commission, who then turn around and raise our rates. And the utilities don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. They just want to have commissioners that will do their bidding, and that's what's occurring right now, and that's why Tom and I are running.
Let's take a little break from, you know, as I think any candidate is a teacher. You guys are always teaching. And in this particular case, the Arizona Corporation Commission is not a nationwide thing, so you have to teach, you have to educate the electorate about it. But you also want to know, I don't think you can be pay attention to Arizona politics and not have heard the name Mundell a lot. So, Bill, tell us about, I don't know, according to Tom here, you've done everything.
Well, I hope that's good when you said if you heard my name, but I have had the honor and the privilege to serve in all four branches of Arizona's government. I was the presiding judge in Chandler for a number of years, served in the legislature for a number of years, served on the Corporation Commission from 1999 to 2008, and then was the served in the executive branch of government. So that's all four branches. I do have a degree in political science, and I did say all four branches because the commission is considered a fourth branch of government in Arizona.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Tom?
Well, in my background.
Yes, please.
I lived in northern Arizona for 40 years. I lived a long time in Native America in the Tuba City area, and was on the Board of Supervisors for Coconino County for two terms, and then served in the Arizona legislature for 5 years, and 4 years ago ran for state senate, and you know, and had a great run at it.
Yeah.
And then I retired. You know, I decided, gosh, you know, I'm 65 next month, and I thought, well, you know, leave it to younger people. But what's very interesting here is that there were not too many people who wanted to take on this race because of what APS did to the character of both Republican and Democratic candidates who did not share their position. And it centers on solar, and I'm not talking about solar farms. APS is all for solar farms that they can sell
because
to their customers.
Because they can charge for it. Sure.
The issue for APS is the garden on your roof. They're against residential customers putting solar on their roof, and they're doing everything they can to obstruct that. So if a candidate for the Corporation Commission is simply open to that idea, doesn't want to obstruct a customer from putting solar on their roof, they're an enemy of APS. And their APS is brutal. And I'm going to remind you one thing. So So how much was your bill last month? Okay.
Yeah.
A portion of what you paid in your bill goes to dark money campaigns that APS is keeping a secret from its customers, keeping it a secret from the commission, keeping it a secret from all the political process.
The definition of corruption. I mean, that's the very definition of corruption.
And so they take a portion of your bill to elect the commission they want,
yeah,
who turns around and raises your bill. And it's a cycle.
And crushes solar.
And crushes solar.
Full disclosure, I have rooftop solar, by the way.
And so do I. But I think it's important to point out that APS, along with the other electrical providers, are monopolies. You can't choose another power company,
right,
or haven't been able to until now with solar. Solar is, in effect, their only competition. And so they're regulated by the Arizona Corporation Commissions because they have a government-approved monopoly. But what's happening with companies like Solar City is they are providing an alternative. I can buy my solar or my electricity from Solar City instead of paying APS.
Well, I think it's more or less – what you are doing is buying – the electricity from yourself. Remember,
right,
that. So you're putting a power plant on your home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you are generating your own electricity. If you have excess electricity, it goes to your neighbor who doesn't have power. That buys it on the grid. And so then APS pays you for that excess power. Now, you may have an agreement, a lease agreement with Solar City, but if you just paid for that power unit on your home.
Well, when I was on the commission, we were one of the first commissions to require utilities to get a portion of their renewable energy, their electricity from renewable sources, whether it's solar, wind, geothermal, landfill gas, et cetera. And then in 2006, we expanded that and passed what are called the Renewable Energy Standard, requiring utilities to generate 15% of their electricity from renewable sources. And what APS has done and the other utilities is they've had an indirect assault on solar. They don't want to have a headline saying APS or the commissioners vote to reduce, from 15% to 12% to 10%. So they've come up with all these different schemes, whether you want to call it the demand charge or the basic hookup charge, and they're attacking solar indirectly to basically crush it. What's happened in the SRP territory down in Phoenix is they passed, and they're not regulated for rates by the Corporation Commission, but they passed the $50 a month hookup charge for new solar hookups, and it's basically ground solar installation on homes to a halt. There's actually almost no solar installation occurring anymore. APS and the other utilities saw that. Now they want to do the same thing.
Right. I know people that live in the Valley that canceled their rooftop solar plans just because, and it wasn't necessarily the 50, but it was a fear that 50 was only the beginning and was going to go to 60 or 70 or 100 to the point where it's not, people with $400 monthly electric bills in Phoenix because of air conditioning, don't need any more, are worried about paying any, and it's the hookup charge. So it scared them. It stopped them.
I think it shows a lot about their mindset. When I had solar put on our house, there was this $50 charge was kind of being debated.
Yeah,
what I noticed was that APS has to approve your solar installation so you can hook up to the grid.
Right.
And so you have
they
to basically.
They take their time, believe
they
me.
They took forever because they were just so busy.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a backlog of 12,000 installations. So, again, they don't want a direct assault on solar. They're doing everything they can to attack it indirectly. So there's a 12,000-person homeowner waiting list to hook up solar at APS.
Yeah.
And last year or the year before, last few years, they laid off, what, Tom, 300? Employees?
Right. Yes.
Meter readers.
Well, we don't know if it's meter readers people reviewing the installation applications or whatever it may be.
And that's so that the CEO can enjoy his – how big a salary is it?
Let's do some comparison there. I mean, let's just build to that. And so Bill and I have this wonderful routine where I ask him some questions. So,
and hopefully I get the answer.
Right. And so we point to – to Salt River Project in Phoenix, and they have 1.2 million customers. They have a CEO. And, Bill, how much money does the CEO at Salt River Project make?
$1.2 million a year. Plus other benefits.
Now, that's a municipality. Now, can you imagine paying a county employee $1.2 million? But, you know, it's a big job, so let's just go to Fortis. Fortis owns Tucson Electric and Power. They own Unisource. They have about 3.5 million customers throughout the nation. It's a Canadian company. Bill, how much does the CEO at Fortis make?
Is it $3.4 million? $3.3 million?
So it's about a buck a customer. Now let's go to APS. 1.2 million customers. Bill, how much does the top five people at APS make?
$22 million a year plus other benefits.
Yow, man.
Now, Bill, how much does the CEO at APS make?
$9.4 million a year plus other benefits.
That's
and
wrong. Now,
and how many employees did they just lay off, did you say?
They laid off
300.
They now have 6,300 employees. Now, what we're saying is this. I mean, APS will say all this political activity comes from shareholders and it doesn't come from the ratepayers. But all you have to do is look at Pinnacle West, the holding company that owns APS. Look at their annual report. It's online. Look at it. And they will, in essence, tell you they wouldn't have a nickel for a stick of gum if it wasn't for APS. So unless you paid your bill.
Yeah.
They'd have nothing in the shareholdings, which, by the way, returned 8% last year to the shareholders.
Wow.
It's a healthy company.
That's a healthy company. That's a good return.
Wouldn't you like to have 8% on your CD or your money market?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the 3 cents I made on my credit union account isn't
and as
changing my life.
And as Tom said, all the money goes upstream, you know, from our electric bill. It goes upstream from APS to Pinnacle West. They have almost no other revenue at the holding company. So, again, it's really just a shell holding company going upstream.
What I find fascinating is I looked up their corporate documents, APS's, and they actually have a rule in place, a corporate rule, that they cannot engage in politics and pay for campaigns. Can you believe that? Can you believe that?
That's probably an old rule.
Yeah, right.
Because I'd like to know when that was written, because as I spoke this morning at the group, in the old days, under the prior executives at APS, it was a disciplinary offense, maybe leading to a fireable offense, if any employee of APS or Pinnacle West, from the CEO to any other employee at the company, if they got involved either directly or indirectly in campaigns at the Corporation Commission. You would get fired or disciplined. That's all changed under the current administration at APS. So I'd love to see that policy.
Yeah, yeah. It's been 2 years since I looked it up.
And let's point out that Tucson Electric and Power and Unisource have all said we're not getting involved in this.
That's right.
And so here we have one utility in the state of Arizona, the largest utility, but only one of, you know, there's co-ops, there's, you know, Fortis, Unisource, TEP, Tucson Electric and Power. They've all made the pledge, we are not going to get involved in this. You know, we will trust the Arizona people to elect a fair-minded commission, and we will put our applications there and be judged on its merits. APS has said no to that. What is sad is that they're all complicit. All of the utilities are complicit. APS has intervened in every single case throughout the state, and they are falling in line. So maybe they aren't contributing to the dark money. Don't you think, Bill, there's an alliance?
It's sort of a wink and a nod. They're saying, oh, we're not doing it, but they're all supporting each other in trying to crush solar with demand charges or hookup fees, et cetera. There's a case pending right now with Unisource. It's a smaller utility that has the territory of Nogales and Kingman. And remember, as we talked about, these are government-sanctioned monopolies. So APS isn't competing with Unisource in Kingman and Nogales.
Right.
But they've intervened in that case. They're paying the expert witnesses. They're paying the lawyers in that case. so they can use it as precedent when they file their rate case June 1st and say, look what you did in Unisource's case. You allowed all these fees. We want the same thing to happen in our case. So it's very, they were hoping it would slide under the radar, but there's been a lot of press on it. There's been, Tom can talk about this. There's been a lot of, at the public hearings, there's been massive amounts of people showing up to protest these new charges. The demand charge, if it's imposed on residential customers in Arizona, it will be the first time in the history of the United States that I believe that any utility and any commission has authorized a demand charge on residential customers.
I think hookup charge is clear. Tell us a little. Explain demand charge to us.
Well, a demand charge is simply this. There's a meter on your home, and it's going to measure how much electricity you use during the course of the day on 30-minute increments.
I see.
Now, every month is going to be different. You won't know if it's 3 o'clock some month, and you won't know if it's 7 o'clock other months.
Huh?
You won't know if it's 7 in the morning or 7 at night.
Huh.
So every month will be a little different, and it's going to measure the peak use that you use. Now, it's going to hold it there. And if you exceed that peak use, then your bill will be spiked for the remainder of the month.
Wow.
Well, Bill, you can...
Well, I was going to say, let's say you've worked all day, you're dead tired, you come home and you want to wash your clothes. So if you have your washing machine on and your dryer, and then you want to do the dishes and your dishwasher, and it's, you know, it's very hot out and your air conditioner's on, that's going to dramatically increase your usage for that one half hour or hour of the full month, and your electric bill is going to skyrocket because of that one day of high usage. Even if you're the most frugal electric user the rest of the other 29 days, if you have that one half hour peak, as I described, having those things on that everyday customers do, and it's going to be very hard to monitor. So your electric bill is going to skyrocket as a result of it. And like I said, it's never been imposed on residential customers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been utilized for commercial and businesses years because they can kind of adjust their assembly line or how much their usage a lot easier than a homeowner. But that's what they're doing now. That's the proposal.
That seems very unfair.
For years, electric companies have based their fees, and this is different from what you're talking about. They've based their fees on peak usage because they have to plan for the peak of, you know, the height of the day or the height of the season.
They ask their customers to opt into a plan where, you know, if you do things in the evening when the peak demand is lower, then you get a little lesser rate. But this is different. This isn't voluntary.
Right.
So this is different. And I just want to remind you, for you two guys who have solar.
Yeah.
So when is your peak demand?
Yeah, I have no idea.
No, sunset.
Oh.
So they
in the dark of the night.
So the truth of the matter is,
when the sun goes away.
This is really directed at you more than any other customer.
Well, of course. Right.
Well, it's not only when the sun goes away, but it's at the end of the day when the hottest part of the day. And you more than likely are using your air conditioner at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whether
you live in Sedona or Phoenix, that's the hottest part of the day.
Sure.
And what you guys were just talking about is called time of use. And you can opt in and you have a choice whether you want to have that different rate structure. But that's a lot broader. That's in APS's territory. It's like from 9 o'clock at night till 9 in the morning. So you have that flexibility. With this new demand, it's every 30 minutes. And so, again, if you come home from work dead tired and you got to do your clothes, you got to wash your clothes for the next day and put your dryer on and you want to do the dishes and your child is on the computer and you're watching TV, it's going to, just like we normally do as human beings, it's going to jack up your rates.
And from what I understand, it could vary from month to month. So you never really know what it is. So how conscious do you need to be? I mean, it's almost like, you know, monitoring your sugar level. You know, I mean, that you're going to have to be that conscious of your electric bill. And all we're saying is, you know, Bill has this question for me. Here we've gone to great lengths to explain the demand charge.
Right.
So, Bill, in simple language, let me ask you this question. What's a demand charge?
Well, we call it just demand more money. Demand more money from the customers.
There you go.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
and the truth is, APS is a healthy company.
Yes.
They have executives making so much money, they're going to retire making $1 million a year. They don't need another nickel of your money, period. They don't need another nickel of your money.
What's absurd about this to me is I've done some work with electric co-ops in the past. And I know that, you know, just having enough capacity to meet the peak demands is one of the biggest challenges. Issues within the industry. But what's absurd about this to me is that solar actually helps those companies, the utilities, reduce the need to build more power plants and to meet that peak demand. So they're really attacking the one thing that can help them. In addition, our electric grid across the country, my former client told me that half of the electricity generated is lost in the grid. The grid is so inefficient that it just circulates around and dissipates. And that, again, solar is one of the primary answers to that very problem.
One of the things that has happened is that the utilities have been very, and I put this in quotes, clever, Machiavellian, devious. I'm sure they had a very expensive focus group where they've pitted solar homeowners against non-solar homeowners, saying that the solar homeowners are not paying their fair share for the grid. A lot of the grid has already been amortized or depreciated, and that's how rates are set. But having said that, what they're not telling the public is that not only are the solar homeowners getting a benefit from the solar on their roofs, but they're putting excess electricity back on the grid to be used by non-solar homeowners.
Very inexpensive electricity.
Very inexpensive and clean burning, obviously.
And clean burning, right.
And what they don't tell people is by doing that, they don't have to build and spend billions of dollars on new fossil fuel plants, which they then get to put in rate base, which increases everybody's rates, whether it's solar customer or the non-solar customer, and in particular the non-solar customer, because their rates are going to go up, because that's how rates are established in Arizona, by the amount of money you spend on infrastructure, whether it's a brand new power plant, a transmission line, a substation, whatever it is, that's how rates are set. They don't tell people that, and that's what's happening right now.
And let's review one other thing. One of the arguments against solar customers is that you need to pay for access to the grid. Well, two things. One, you pay the monthly access fee, which is the basic fee.
Yes, I do.
Right. And mm-hmm. It's fundamental. Secondly, way back when, for instance, we just go to this radio station here in Sedona. Way back when it was built, believe me, APS charged for access to the grid to the person who built this building. When you purchased your home,
right.
Access to the grid was paid by you and the subsequent owners.
Tom Chabon and Bill Mondell are running for Arizona Corporation Commission and our guests this morning. You guys, I have to put in the thing here. I don't say this about all our candidates, but you guys are the perfect candidates for this office because you've been around.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah, well,
he's older than I am. This is Bill Mondell.
I'll be 65
That's all relative in this room.
They truly understand the issues.
Exactly. And Bill and Tom, I want you gaze into your crystal ball. What seems to make this also silly is the future.
Well, I think that the truth is, I mean, why is APS fighting this? Why are all the utilities fighting this?
Great question.
Is because if you put solar on your home, they have lost a portion of your business or all of your business.
Right.
They have nothing against solar if they can build a farm and charge you for it.
Right.
What they don't want to do is destroy the business model that they have. And the thing is, they're healthy. They don't have to worry about that yet, but they're trying to nip it in the bud. So what I always like to do is think, okay, I point out the Peabody coal 4 years ago in 2011. The price of their shares, I believe, on the stock market was $72, $74 a share. Last Friday was $2.07.
I see.
The future... What APS is doing is obstructing the future we're going to have. There will be Tesla batteries or other batteries created that you could put in your garage and have solar during the day that will capture the energy you need nearly 24/7. We will never be able to do without the grid, but the future of energy generation will be probably much more localized. I could see 30 years from now that the APS model will be obsolete and that local municipalities will take over energy generation and distribution, and it'll be far more localized.
Right.
I could see that that could happen. I'm not going to say it is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But what APS is trying to do is obstruct that destiny.
Wow. Yes, and it's an antiquated economic model, and you have to have commissioners that are forward-thinking, as Tom described, where you could have solar on your home, be off the grid, and have a Tesla battery or some other battery. So obviously, when the sun goes down, you have electricity that you've stored all day to use during the night. And so they're doing everything they can to stop progress in Arizona. I use the analogy, and I don't know if it's a good analogy or not, but sort of like when we had a horse and buggy and the automobile came along. If you go back and look at history, you know, the blacksmiths and the owners of the horse and buggy, they did everything to try to stop automobiles from being used in the cities and at nighttime, et cetera. And it's just kind of the same thing that's happening here. They're doing everything they can to obstruct solar progress in Arizona. And as Tom described, they're all for building these big solar farms. Why is that? For two reasons, as we described earlier. A, they get to put it in rate base because they're building the infrastructure. And then B, they own it and they get to charge customers. So they get a twofer there.
Right.
You know, put in rate base and they also own it.
I think it's telling about them. I proposed a different, when I moved to Arizona 10 years ago, I proposed a different business model to them. They were talking about building their new solar farm. And I suggested, since they had a solar manufacturer in Phoenix, that they buy panels, you know, at large discounts, you know, in large quantity from the solar maker, and go to their customers and ask the customers for permission to put one on their roof, you know, to put the panels on the roof, and then put a meter on to charge them for the electricity they generated, but give them a discount for, you know, what it would cost them to build a solar farm. They could help, you know, prorate that out to the customers. I would have been happy to have had them do that. And I think a lot of other people would, just to have clean energy. They laughed at me. I mean, they just flat out said, why would we want to do that?
Yeah.
Well, basic fairness, but they don't want fairness. They want to dominate and crush.
Yeah. It could have been a generator for them. It could have saved them a huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. At the same time, converted to the new type of generation.
I think that one of the things is that these large giants should be careful. Because I point out that about 15 years ago, Bill and I looked this up. The city of Page decided to create its own municipal electrical utility. Mm-hmm. And their rates are nearly half of what APS charges. Now, they have a source of energy right next door. It's the dam.
The dam.
Right?
Right.
And they have the power plant. And they just said, why can't we? Why do we need this middleman? Right? And so will it be the future? I mean, will the greed, the obstruction, be so blatant, as I believe it is now, and so continuous, that if they're not stopped, if they're not regulated, if we don't employ our future, we will have municipalities turning around and saying, we're not going to issue this franchise to APS anymore.
Ah, that's the bottleneck. That's where they have the control.
Well, and some things never change. In that case that Tom described, APS did everything they could to stop Page from getting out of the territory for APS and generating and having their own electric generation. There's a court case on it. They did everything they could to stop it. And so what goes around, you know, comes around, the same thing is happening now. And this is also not just in Arizona, but it's a nationwide movement by all the what are called the incumbent utilities. They're the big utilities in all the states. In Nevada, the Public Service Commission up there put on the $50 a month hookup charge for solar. It cost Nevada hundreds of jobs, solar jobs?
5,000.
5,000, I said hundreds. 5,000 jobs. So you talk about economic development. 5,000 jobs were lost in Nevada because they put on this $50 a month hookup charge and didn't grandfather people in. And right now, we'll see what happens in this rate case that APS is going to file on June 1st to see whether they grandfather people in or not. SRP did because they knew there would be a firestorm. But again, there's no new solar homeowners installations going on in the SRP territory. And that's what our concern is. If you have the same thing in APS, it'll occur.
And I'm sure the current corporation commissioners are fighting very hard for customers, for those taxpayers out there.
Let me say this now, let me say it later. Guys, if we piqued your interest, and not just piqued your electric bill, don't forget you can get information at billmundell.org, tomchaman.com. We're also, the other big topic this morning, and I don't mean to interrupt, is that we are talking about your Clean Elections campaign. You know, we can get so involved in the APS and the solar crushing thing that is going on. We also want to talk about your campaign. Clean Elections, the beauty of Clean Elections for especially Arizona Corporation Commission candidates is the exact opposite of what we have right now. Commissioners that were bought and paid for and ran with corporate money, in this case APS money. Clean Elections, they do need the $5 contributions. You can do that through the website. Those of you that know how Clean Elections work, you can do the $5 contributions through the website, billmundell.org, tomchaban.com, and help these guys out. Signatures to get elected, they need 6,000 signatures. They need seed money. BillMundell.org, TomChaban.com. I feel like I'm doing Pope Peel's, you know.
You got to buy a car, yeah, TomChaban.com.
Yeah. Right on the corner, right on the price.
TomChaban.com.
Right on the corner, right on the price, yeah.
We appreciate that. And I want to point out that please go to the Arizona Republic, Google the names of each and every commissioner we have. Would you?
Yeah.
And look at that every single commissioner is conflicted or has problems with boundaries. I mean, whether it's Mr. Stump that threw away his state-owned phone to hide text messages to APS,
right.
Whether it's Mr. Tobin that has two conflicts of interest in his city and was advised by the ethical attorney, he's not eligible to serve. Bill, where else do we go?
It's a scandal a day. I mean, we can't even keep up with it. Something's going on. And let's talk about the dark money again, if we could, for a brief minute. Between the $3 and $8 million that APS spent to get these commissioners elected, APS, not only are the two current commissioners, Farese and Little, they're stonewalling. They're stonewalling. One of the other commissioners asked to see the books and records to see how much money was spent in the last election. And not only have they stonewalled and not helped him to get that information, they've actually filed letters in the docket saying that APS has a right to keep it silent, to keep it secret. So they're not only just remaining neutral, they're actually defending APS and saying they don't have to disclose it.
It's just once again, when you pay your bill, this is your money. When you pay your bill and APS uses it for political campaigns that are secret, not filed with the Secretary of State, these commissioners are saying that no one has any right to that information, but they're using the money you are paying your bill. That's the crime, and the commissioners are protecting them.
And we believe, under Citizens United, one of the worst decisions, I believe, decided by the Supreme Court, even under Citizens United, we have a right, or they have a right as commissioners, both under the state constitution and by statute, to look at the books and records of these regulated monopolies. They're not a widget manufacturer. You don't have a choice when you're buying a Ford and a Chevy. They're given a state-sanctioned license to be a monopoly under the constitution, and by statute, we have a right, the commissioners have a right to look at how much they spent on political campaigns. And these commissioners are afraid to do anything about it.
Are forced to buy electricity from APS. You are forced. The government has forced you to do it.
How many current commissioners, how many commissioners are on the commission, and how many of them have conflicts or controversies surrounding their membership or election?
There are five commissioners, and all five have conflicts. Or not conflicts, controversies, or one has a conflict.
Two were allegedly and quite clearly elected with APS money.
Correct.
Dark money. You have two, Andy Tobin and Susan Bittersmith.
She's gone.
She's gone. Okay. Who's
she had to resign before the Supreme Court kicked her off the commission.
Because she worked for Cox, which is regulated by the commission, and also had money to help site a substation when she was chairman of the commission for an APS substation. Just unbelievable, unbelievable.
And so what did Governor Ducey do but appoint Mr. Tobin that has not one, but two conflicts?
And Stump is the one that threw away his phone to avoid his emails and
Mr.
becoming...
And Mr. Farese and Mr. Little goes to the country club with the CEO. No?
No, Commissioner Pierce.
Sorry.
The former chairman of the commission went to the Phoenix Country Club to have lunch with Don Brandt, CEO of APS and Pinnacle West, and also to 8 or 9 lunches at a very expensive restaurant in Phoenix. So not only did he have these lunches one-on-one with the CEO of APS, but the question is, who paid for those lunches?
Well, that was that was in the New Times. I remember
seeing
that.
Yes, and certainly at the country club, unless Gary Pierce was a member of that country club, the APS executive, Don Brandt, paid for that lunch and probably the other 8 or 9 at a very expensive restaurant in Phoenix.
So it's this. We have to think a commissioner should be cynical. A commissioner should doubt everything. The commissioner should be like a Tea Party member looking at their tax bill. I mean, that is what a commissioner should be. Doubting everything and considering fairly each and every application. I promise to do that.
So Andy Tobin got this as a reward. This is our former representative.
You've
heard this name a lot on this station. Go ahead.
And as Tom said, he doesn't have just one conflict, but two. Yeah. So what did he do? He went to the legislature to have his former colleagues weaken the conflict of interest law so he wouldn't have a conflict. He was told by the chief counsel or ethics counsel for the Corporation Commission that he wasn't even appointable. So he went down to try to change the law. And Tom and I think the law should be strengthened on conflicts, not weakened. So that's what's occurring. So this is a cycle of corruption. It's a scandal a day.
And listen, I just want you to know that when we say that Mr. Tobin was advised that he was not eligible to be a commissioner, those words came from Mr. Tobin's mouth in an interview with the Capital Times and in his testimony before the legislature at committee, when he gave testimony, he said, look, guys, you have to pass this because I was advised I'm not eligible to be a commissioner. And yet he insisted on being sworn in.
And just one more thought to follow up on what Tom said. You know, these rate increases are just like a tax increase because you don't have a choice. And as we talked about earlier, they don't care. The utilities don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. They just want to raise your rates and crush solar.
Let's talk about it. It's a fairly crowded field. How many for the seats that are open? How many seats are open, and how many of the candidates you're running against are not beholden to APS or
well, I don't know. I think people are going to have to figure out who's not.
Okay,
you know, but there are three vacancies. Two of us are running as Democrats.
TomChavin.com, BillMundell.org. That's with two L's. You want to get some more information, help these guys get elected. Like I say, these guys are the perfect Arizona Corporation Commission candidates. We want to thank the Democrats of the Red Rocks for helping us keep the show on the air. Democratic Perspective is grateful for that. And we want to give a nod to all those helpers over at the Ledbetter Law Firm that would prefer we didn't mention them on the air. But every once in a while, we have to do that because they do help us out. Go to vvid.org, vvid.org, and you can get this podcast and all the fine shows that we do.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.